Hello, welcome to step two, which is called Other Ways to Describe Love Addiction. What I want to talk about here is that even though we speak about love addiction in so many different ways, many of us have no clue of some of the things that we've randomly heard in our lives, how much it is actually acquainted to love addiction. Okay, so I'm going to go through some of them with you today. One of them, as we've already mentioned in step one, is called loving too much. When being in love means being in pain. Loving too much when being in love means being in pain. Now, why do I say that? I say it because often if two people are attracted to one another, you'll often hear people say, I don't really fancy him or her, because there isn't that intensity there isn't that anxiety there, or what they will say is there's no chemistry there. Often what they really mean is being in love doesn't feel like being in pain, and so they feel actually quite numb. Once again, I will come back to that a little wee bit later, because that's such a problem with people who suffer from love addiction, the feeling of feeling either too much intensity, too much passion, or feeling nothing, literally numb, bored, uninterested. Okay, another way of describing love addiction is obsession. Obsessive love is the longing for someone more than one's own life, the longing for that love to be reciprocated. Obsessive love is devouring, it's hungry, it wants to engulf that other person as they love so much, more than their own life, more than their own survival. It's obsessive love, as we all know in the media, when perhaps there's been a crime of passion or somebody's become obsessively attached to someone, involved with someone, obsessively fantasizes about someone. This is what one would call obsessive love. The other one is fixated love. Feeling when you are fixated, as I've got here, it's almost like when one person becomes obsessed and attached to the beloved, that one person is both obsessed, loving too much, fixated, and they become absolutely symbiotically fused and attached. So much so that some of the symptoms of that, for instance, might be jealousy. Often when I've run my recovery programs, either with individuals or with couples, one of the things that's been activated between the couple is that one or the other partner might say that he or she must be fixated on me. I can't move. I have to tell them everything. If I'm late, they feel that I've been with somebody else. So fixated love can become quite paranoid, very suspicious, and very delusional. That's harder to deal with, because it could be that the fixation has happened because the partner they've chosen might not be very tactile or might not be very emotionally responsive, and this can make the person that suffers from this form of love addiction to become absolutely fixated on getting a response, in feeling that response, needing to be held enough, needing to be loved more, snuggled more attentive. And so fixated love is a very, very, it's probably one of the most intensive kinds of love addiction, because it's quite hard to break, but not at all impossible. Okay, so one of the other things that I wanted to speak about that one could think about love addiction would be called blind love, blindly besotted by the beloved, so much so that it has been said that when people actually fall in love, there is actually a temporary fault, a temporary blurred vision, a blurred reality, so that what one sees is the world through rose-colored glasses, particularly the person of the beloved. You know, there's that saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And it doesn't come as any surprise that when somebody is blindly besotted by someone, they lose all sense of rationality. So certain things, like if they were with somebody that was narcissistic or that they had to walk on eggshells, they'll put up with everything because they will always see the best in someone. Although on some level, that can be kind of quite kind and quite good, or having a big heart to forgive someone no matter what. But then there is something, but then for the person that suffers from, that is besotted by someone blindly, they can't really see clearly. And then that becomes a problem in the relationship for the love-addicted person. Now, one other thing that one could call, another way that one could speak for love addiction, another way one could call love addiction, is passionate love. A feeling of intense excitement, passion for this other person. This is where we fall into the realms of euphoric love, ecstatic love, and it becomes all-consuming. People that experience this passionate love, as I have said at the beginning of this, passionate, is it passionate attraction or is it loving too much? That when it's passionate love, it's as if these two people live, if it's mutual, of course, but then it wouldn't be called love addiction, but it still could be called love addiction even though it's mutual. These two people survive almost as if they're living within a bubble. They might go to a restaurant with one another and being catapulted into a romantic, beautiful space with one another. And so other people in the restaurant, if that's where they were, almost disappear. And it's as if they are encapsulated in their own romantic bubble. So this would be what's called passionate love. Another way, as I've already mentioned in step one, would be unrequited love. Unrequited love is a love that is one-sided. It's not mutual. It isn't reciprocated. And I would say that most operas, ballets, films of that would fall into the brackets of the kind of work I specialize in love addiction, would come under this category of unrequited, unreciprocated love. Just to mention films like Wuthering Heights, Anna Karenina, Madame Bovary, and copious more films. But that would just give you, you know, by the way, while I'm speaking about this, it might be good for you to also download some of those films, because they really speak about this unreciprocated, unrequited love in the most powerful way. So that is unrequited love. One other that I haven't mentioned yet, this would be called hungry love. This would come under ravenous love. I love you so much I can eat you. That kind of love. Now, something that I only come across in my research just recently that took me quite by surprise when I was researching, doing more research for this recovery program, it's a word called erotomania. Now, most of you wouldn't have heard of it, and this really was of great interest to me. Erotomania is when you imagine that a celebrity or someone famous is absolutely obsessed with you. You actually believe that this person could be following you. You think they are trying to find you. You actually put your life on hold, waiting for them to come and get you, to come and release you, to come and release you into this beautiful, romantic, euphoric place and build a home with you, make babies with you. So erotomania would also, I'm saying this as a therapist, very much fall into the symptoms of delusional behavior, paranoia, delusional behavior. There's another one and I can't quite remember, but it's a kind of a form of fragmentation, disassociation, that was the one. And so this is again another symptom or another way that one can describe love addiction at its very worst. So I hope that makes sense. Another way of describing love addiction would be called erotic love, from the Greek word eros. Eros literally means desire. As it says here, it has the intensity, absolute desire, and is experienced as an intense desire for completeness. It's intensely erotic, intense sexuality, so much so that it is that drives the other, drives you towards that person. Again, this can lead to a kind of a fixation that you are the only one that can make me feel complete. You are the only one that I could ever feel such a romantic intensity towards. And it is this kind of erotic love, again, that many scripts and theatre performances and films are made of. So this whole thing of love addiction comes with a whole array of different kinds of permeations, and actually we don't quite know how much it is actually present in people's lives until we go and watch a ballet or opera or see a film, and you will see it literally running through things like La Traviata, Tristan and Isolde, and it's all basically based on erotic love or passionate love, unequivocal love that is unreciprocated and unrequited. Okay, I think that's nearly bringing me to the end of this, and I hope this part of the section, which is step two, has given you already, once again I'll repeat what I was saying in the beginning, these videos and the PowerPoints are to give you a deep sense of knowledge and understanding of other ways that you can find yourself around in this maze of love addiction. Thank you, and I look forward to speaking to you again in my step three part of the love addiction recovery program. Thank you.